All right.
The Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
I just walked downstairs for a second from when the show was over to when we hit record to do the post-show. And Caitlin had made an Easter. I thought somebody left me an Easter basket up front in the house. And I thought, oh, somebody delivered me an Easter basket. How sweet. How nice. And I was going to go grab it. And she goes, don't grab that basket. And I was like, wait, what happened? What she did was she took this big basket and made little packages for all the delivery people that come by the house. And so, like, today when they're back delivering, they have a little Easter basket. And so...
Oh, that's cute.
Well, half of me is like, that's not for me. And the other half's like, well, that's really nice. Because it was like a Starbucks gift card, granola bars, almonds, a lot of stuff that she was like, man, they're working hard. We're stuck at the house. Let's leave something out there. But then I was just going to take a little bag, just one of them for me, just the little treats. And I wasn't allowed. So... I know.
I'm sure she got you a little something.
Nope. Yeah, Easter was yesterday. What am I supposed to do? Easter's over.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point.
How was Easter?
Maybe she just hasn't given it to you yet.
How was it? How was it at your house?
It was fine. We did church on YouTube Live, which was good. And then we did Easter egg hunt, which was fun, but it was raining, so we had to do it all indoors.
Find all the eggs?
They got to FaceTime with the grandparents. Nope, we didn't. We hid so many, and the kids did not find them all, and we didn't really count. So I know there's some missing, so I just feel like they're going to have some Easter egg surprises throughout the year.
But are they eggs with money or candy?
Candy.
Okay.
One of them found one of the money ones. There's still a money one missing, so someone will have that to look forward to some point this year. And then there's candy ones, which I'm hoping are fine and we don't get ants or something, but
not real eggs.
We'll see. No, not that's like good. Rotten egg. They won't go rotten. They just have candy and money. Yeah.
Dang, your kids are balling.
Yeah, but they have no concept of money, like what of the value of each thing is. So even when we said some have money, you know, Stashira looks up with big eyes and she's like, $100? But she doesn't know what we try to teach her. That's a lot. $100 is so much money, but she doesn't know the real difference. So then it just seemed, we're like, no, like a dollar. So it didn't seem as big of a deal, but.
Who kind of understands the concept of money better between your kids?
I don't know when they're going to understand that.
No, neither. Well, your son was offering me $100 to jump in my own pool at the house. He was like, I give you $100. Yeah. I was like, you don't have $100. He goes, but I get it. I was like, no, I need to see it first.
So see my point? It's embarrassing. So if someone were to see my kids interact that way, they might think, wow, these kids just bet hundreds of dollars. Like it's no big deal. But no, it's just because they're very confused. That is not how we... handle money at the house or anything. But yeah, no, Stashira bet me $200 on something the other day. And I was like, you don't even have that.
Well, I'll teach her a lesson.
You don't have that.
Take it from her and then bill her.
Okay. It'd have to be an IOU.
That's what I have to do with Eddie. Because Eddie bets all the time and doesn't pay crap back.
That's right. That's right.
Did you get my $5 from the last draft?
No, we never made that bet. So
are
no,
you sure? Mike, did Eddie not make the bet?
I'm pretty sure,
I feel like we did.
We made the bet for the first one, but not this last one, Bones. Don't try to just swindle me out of $5 more.
Are you gambling still on anything?
Nope. I'm proud to say I've been not gambling for, well, I'll put it this way. I haven't paid money to my gambling site in 2 months.
Okay. You're proud to say, Eddie, there's been nothing to gamble on. What I've been asking that's is, right. Have you found weird things to gamble on?
And that's not true, Bones. The horses are still running, and I'm not gambling on horses.
Amy, what do you say?
Well, no. I mean, he's obviously still gambling because he said, I'm not gambling. Let me rephrase that. I haven't paid money to my gambling site in 2 months, which means he's gambling in other ways.
Who are you betting money with,
right?
Eddie?
No. What I mean is I've had winnings in there for like 2 months, so I haven't had to pay more. So I'm just playing off
a winning.
Oh,
he's gambling.
Right,
okay.
You're still gambling.
What are you betting on then? You just said you're not betting on the horses.
I bet on horse races. I bet
you
on
you just
those,
said you weren't betting horses.
Recently. I haven't bet recently. And I've been betting on those basketball players playing on video games. It's been fun.
You've been betting on humans playing video games?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they're all big shots on the court, but how are they with their fingers? It's a fun game.
So is that like an episode, you know, on Ballers, they have this pro athlete football player that goes in to play video games? And is that what's happening in real life now?
Sort of.
Do you watch...
I haven't seen that episode, ballers? But I mean, pro athletes are doing it now because there's nothing else for pro athletes to do.
Yeah.
They can play. They can still play basketball, sort of. And then gambling sites will put it up. I can't believe Eddie bets on that.
Bones, we're all bored right now. I mean, what else do we do to entertain
How
ourselves?
How are you bored right now, Eddie? We have full-time jobs, and you have four kids, and they're homeschooled.
Got him.
I don't understand. It boggles my mind when people are like, I'm so bored, I have nothing to do. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but we still have our job. We're still working hours and hours.
Yeah, I'm thankful for that. I know. I'm thankful for that. I'm referring to people with jobs and with children. I'm not referring to people that may be in a different situation.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Like Eddie.
Come 10 o'clock at night, guys. The kids are asleep. I look over, my wife's asleep, and I'm like, okay. Well, what does daddy do? Well,
let me see. All right, so you just don't get adequate sleep. That's it. You don't prioritize sleep.
I don't. I mean, I get, 5 hours of sleep a night?
And then you take a nap. You take a long nap every day.
I nap 2 hours during the day.
So weird. Why don't you just get a full night's sleep and then also not be bored?
Bones, I tried to go to bed one night at 7 and I just stayed up till like, again, 11.
Okay,
just with my eyes wide open.
It doesn't happen overnight. And by the way, don't go to bed at 7.
You have to train yourself.
Go to bed at 9:30. What time do
you, you go to bed at 9:30?
Who cares what I do now because I'm so off.
Yeah.
I don't know my schedule now. So.
Yeah, when I saw Bones this weekend, he was like, what day is this? I don't even know what's going on, dude. It's like Groundhog's Day now.
My work, everything's wrong. Times at work, workout times, meetings.
Are you getting dressed at all, like on just regular days?
Dressed in what? I don't want anything.
Like nice.
No. What? No.
No.
Shorts and cutoffs.
No,
and
no,
hoodies.
No. Oh, my husband almost wanted us to dress up for Easter service.
At your
own
house?
The whole family. Yeah. I nixed that so fast. It did not happen. Mm. I thought I get it. It probably would have felt special, which Easter is special. But I just didn't feel like putting the kids through that. Hopefully this is the only time in our life that we have to do this. And this will be Easter. We will never forget. And we'll be like, remember that one time we just stayed in our pajamas and did Easter from the couch? Remember that one time we couldn't leave the house, so we went and got all dressed up to go nowhere?
Well, I've been dressed up to go work at the Opry because I go out there.
So,
we start shooting Idol again this week. So I'll at least have to put on normal clothes for that. I don't think I can go because they sent me a bunch of equipment. I don't think it's not like a Zoom where I just go Winnie the Pooh, you know, tops up, naked on bottom. So
like you do on your game show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not naked, but I do have a sports coat and a tie on. All right, here's today's show. Hope you enjoy Monday's show. Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank talks with us. Tomorrow, Jake Owen and Dylan from Tiger King, who is the real-life husband of Joe Exotic. Thank you. All you cats and kittens, here is today's show. Enjoy. Bye.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
Woo! This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
I hope you guys had a good Easter. We're back again. Amy, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. How was Easter?
It was really good. I mean, it was very different than any other Easter we ever had, but still good.
Yeah. I think it's for everybody, huh? I was watching a lot of great singers sing in empty places, and they were doing it so people could watch, obviously, but they would go out and sing, you know, church hymns or... I think Ashley McBride sang Amazing Grace in the Ryman. I saw one of the Italian big singers. I don't think it's Pavarotti. I don't think he's alive anymore, is he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's like Bocelli. It's one of those guys singing somewhere. So there was a lot of things, odd things happening yesterday. But yeah, glad everybody is here. Let me say this. Morning, studio.
Morning.
There we go. Let's see what's happening with everybody's lives. Let's do What's the Haps. Hey.
Hey, What's the Haps?
Mine's going to be pretty quick. That Bear Grylls, the show that I was on, is now on Disney Plus. So you can watch my episode if you never got to see it on Nat Geo or Hulu. But it's on Disney Plus, and I was tagged hundreds of times at people with Disney Plus going, hey, I'm watching your episode. So appreciate that. Who has Disney Plus? Mike, do you, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Eddie, do you have it?
I have it. Yep.
Do you like it?
Because I'm like, well, my kids like it. I rarely watch it because they watch all the cartoons on it, but... I mean, I'll get on there now. Ooh, they would love to see you, dude. I don't think they've seen your episode, so I want to show that to them tonight.
I think your son would think I was a lot cooler Eddie and his son come over to the house to fix my basketball goal. Eddie's son doesn't give two craps about anything. I'm just another adult he doesn't care about.
Well, you're just my buddy. I know.
But show him that episode, and then take your phone and talk with him afterward and see if he thinks I'm any cooler.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Anyway, Bear Grylls, the whole show was on, but my episode's on Disney Plus. That's what's happening with me. Hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
Amy?
So I watched the Jonas Brothers documentary, which is on Amazon Prime. It's called Chasing Happiness. Anyone else here seen it?
Mm-mm. I've seen it. It's so good. I love it.
So good. Oh. It really is. I give it 4 to 4.5 Jonas Brothers out of 5.
Wow.
Wow.
My note here says you were going to give it 4, but I think Eddie gave you the confidence to go to 4.5 in front of us.
He did. Because I felt like, at first, I feel like I could have gone 5, but I thought that's too strong for, I'm not a super duper Jonas Brothers fan. So the fact that I actually really enjoyed it made me think maybe this is a 5.
Which one of the Jonas Boys made the band split up?
Oh gosh, I can't remember their names. But not, okay, so the one that got married first to the Kevin. New Jersey hairdresser. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he kind of like wanted to go live this life and go be a husband, and he was older, so he was experiencing that. But it was one of the younger ones when they were trying to get back together that was like, no, I can't do this. I got to go do my own thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just didn't feel complete when they were all out doing their separate things, except for Kevin was just not doing anything, but the other two were out trying to do something. They just felt empty, like something was missing, and it was the connection with their brothers. So now they're back together, and it's super cool.
Sounds like a documentary with a storyline that they really push themselves. Like, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That part, yes.
When
okay,
you get to
but,
control
Bobby,
your own documentary, you get to control every part of it.
I get it, but I didn't know a lot of their beginnings. And I knew their dad was a pastor, but I didn't know that their church, once they became a pop band, their church basically kind of kicked them out, and they lived in the house that's on the church land. So then they weren't allowed back in their house. They weren't allowed at their church. I didn't know any of that part.
Well, that stuff's interesting. But they put it out as a promotional vehicle for their band getting back together. Isn't that when this came out, Mike?
Yeah, right before the album.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying. All right. Thank you, Amy. Hey.
The hat.
Lunchbox?
If you've ever stayed at a DoubleTree hotel, you know they have those warm chocolate chip cookies when you check in, and they are delicious. And to boost everybody's morale during this corona lockdown, for the first time ever, they released their recipe. So you can try to make the most delicious cookies in the world yourself at your house.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
Wait, have you tried it?
I haven't tried. It just came out like 2 days ago. I haven't been to the grocery store. And so I've stayed at DoubleTree, and those cookies are amazing. And people have tried knockoff versions, and they could never figure it out. And now they said, you know what? We want to make people feel better in this time of need and panic. And here's the recipe. Go out and bake the cookies on your own.
Right.
Wow.
What a generous move by DoubleTree.
There you go. All right. That's what's happening with Lunchbox. Hey.
Hey, what's the hat?
All right. Let's go over to Eddie. What's up, dude?
So I spent $20 on a movie rental this weekend. It was Trolls, the new Trolls movie. It was fine, but $20 was kind of steep. I didn't expect to rent a movie for $20, but since movie theaters are closed, I mean, that's what you got to do if you want to watch a new movie. You rent it for $20.
Here's my question. How much would it have cost you to take the whole family to the theater?
It's a good point. It costs about $50 to take the whole family. So I see that I probably saved a few dollars, yes.
Would you rather they not release these movies?
I mean, a cartoon like Trolls Bones, I don't care. Like, like my kids were excited about it, but to me, it's fine. And I guess they're excited that a new release, they can see it at home. So as long as they're happy, sure, I'm fine with it.
Could you not, and I'm not saying do this for sure, but could you not lie to your youngest kids and say something's new and be like, here it is, and play them something from 8 years ago?
It's the Goonies. I'll think about that.
All right, how many troll heads do you give the Trolls movie?
I give it 2.5 troll heads out of 5. Wow. Not my favorite.
All right, there you go. That's what's happening with all of us. Play us out, Raymundo.
Hey, what's the hat?
About to talk to Adam Hambrick, big songwriter and artist. He wrote for Dan and Shay this song, How Not To. He also wrote for Justin Moore this song, Somebody Else Will. Somebody else will. He's written songs for Lindsay L, Miranda Lambert, Eli Young Band, and here's one of his songs. This is called Rockin' All Night Long. Bloodshot eyes, watch the sunrise, sleep when you die, phase and laugh. It's a full high, falling high, singing songs to her in the dark, and drinking up every moment till it's gone, just rockin' all night long. And he's on with us right now.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Adam Hembrick.
Hey, Adam, I know you got two kids, and they're younger, but are you doing any kind of homeschooling with them, or is life just normal?
So, like, we wake up, and then we have arts and crafts time. You know, like, we color, paint, or basically we try to keep it structured as best we can, but really it's basically a free-for-all over here. We can't pretend like we're, like, killing it at the homeschool department.
You got two young kids, too. How old are they?
8 months and four.
Dang.
So, yeah, it's kind of chaos over here most of the time.
But kind of a blessing, right, that you get to hang out with your 8-month-old baby, because you'd be on the road touring otherwise a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's the joy. But at the same time, man, it is tough. But we're doing okay. I think the biggest thing is just, like, she works in medicine. So she works at Vanderbilt. She's a PA. And so, like, a lot of her days, she's testing people for this stuff. And so that adds a stressor. You know, on both of us. So we literally don't go anywhere because we don't want to spread, you know, the virus in case we have it and stuff like that. So we're really careful and all that.
Is she wearing a whole suit, hazmat suit?
They do have protective gear at the Vanderbilt walk-in clinics where she works. But I know there are hospitals in Nashville that, you know, they're testing people and treating people, and they don't have full protective gear. So it's a problem everywhere.
Did she practice on you?
I have not gotten one of those nasal swabs all the way up my nose.
That's what I was going to ask, because they stick those things all the way back, right?
Yeah, they tickle your brain with it, dude.
Is she nervous about coming home with anything, or does she feel pretty good about all the things she's doing to make sure it's safe?
I mean, we're doing the best we can. I don't think there's any way to feel good about it just because of how, like, transmittable the disease is, but, like, I mean, she's coming in and she's, like, you know, changing clothes immediately, like, not, you know, not bringing her clothes past the mud room. Like, she washes the clothes the second she comes in. And, you know, so we go through, like, all these, like, regular type things to keep us from trying to get it. But at the end of the day, it kind of is what it is.
Wow. Okay, Adam Hambrick is on. This has quickly turned to all talking about his wife who's working on the front lines. Well, listen, tell her that we all are very thankful that she's doing that, and we're super appreciative, and man, that is crazy. Well, let's move on and talk about your song for a second. You got a new song, which we're playing here. It's called Forever Ain't Long Enough. What's this one about?
Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like a feel-good love song. I don't think there's enough of those out there. And so when we wrote it, it was just kind of one of those things that, hey, we're just trying to write something fun for the, you know, fun, make people feel good, make people dance a little bit at shows, and that's kind of the story of the song. It didn't really come from any place other than just, like, being in love and feeling good and wanting to dance about it.
Okay, we're going to play that now. At Adam Hambrick on Instagram and Twitter, you can follow him, and we're going to play that now. Adam, be safe, my friend.
Thanks a lot. You too, man.
Had a little s'mores party over at the house on Saturday night. Kind of impromptu, but Caitlin said, hey, I'm going to make some s'mores. Can you make a fire? I'm supposed to make a fire. And so I have a fire pit in my backyard, which I've never unsealed. There's like a lid on top of it. And I think the person who owned my house before me had used it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And so John Party, the country singer, and I are really good friends. And he was telling me he got a new log splitter. So I called him. I said, hey, man, can you bring some firewood over to the house? And he's like, yeah. So about 8 hours later, John Party shows up in his work truck. He had been cleaning up his land anyway. Boy, he had all the work clothes on, too. He was right in the middle of it. And he dropped off some wood. And so I took it, and I had it set up. And then I just sent Amy a little voice memo. And I said, hey, we're going to make some s'mores tonight because Caitlin wants to make these s'mores. You're able to bring the kids if you want. You guys have been quarantined. We've been quarantined. We don't have to be near each other, but come over to the house. And so she did. And I wasn't getting out of doing my job at the Opry because I do a TV show at the Opry. I knew I'd get home about 8:30, but I had it all set. I had the diesel, I had the wood, and I also knew Amy's husband could build a fire too. So I said, hey, if you guys get there early and he wants to build a fire, go for it. And so I got home at 8:30. Amy's husband had built the fire. S'mores were just started, and it was only like 30, 45 minutes. It was the perfect timing. I knew it was late for the kids too, Amy, but I thought it was pretty cool, right?
Yeah, we were able to kind of get in there, have a little socialization, which was nice and a good break for the kids. And of course, they thought it was amazing. They got to have chocolate and pretzels and cookies and like marshmallows galore, I think. And then when we were leaving, Stashira stuck about 5 candy bars in her pocket. I'm like, okay.
Well,
sorry about that.
It was for sure like gourmet s'mores. Like she went all out. You know, she gets to go to the store like twice a week. And she went and she got cookies and cream Hershey's. She got the normal Hershey's, marshmallows, graham crackers. She had 3 different kinds of sauces. Are those called sauces?
Yeah, spreads maybe. Yeah.
It was hardcore, but I thought she did a great job. And that's all I ate for dinner. And I hated myself the next day when I woke up because all I ate were like 9 s'mores. But it was good. We're glad you guys could come over. So that was fun. And then on Sunday, I got a call back from ABC because it started where they go, hey, we're going to do this show and it's going to be all sing-alongs to big Disney hits. And we want you to sing a song. And I was a little on the fence about it because I didn't want to sing the entire version of You Got a Friend in Me on ABC. And I was talking to you guys about it. I was like, should I do it? Because I'm not known as a wonderful singer. I can sing for comedy just fine. But they're going to give me 2 minutes to sing on ABC. Like, I'm not craving that kind of attention. Mm-hmm. Not to sing anyway. And so we talked about it. And finally, I said, okay, I think I'll do it. And then they said, well, now there's been a holdup because the show just got a lot bigger and a lot of other people want to do it too, so we're splitting up the songs. Then I went over and I became just a guy who was going to be like a person in between songs and talk about what was happening. Because Ryan Seacrest is hosting, and I was like, okay, I'll just be one of these guys. And then they go, you know what? We want you to sing again. And so we shot yesterday, because I'm doing it with Aaron Andrews, Carrie Ananaba, who's a judge on Dancing with the Stars, and somebody else. But we're all singing Bare Necessities. And they said, hey, you have like 6 hours. Can you go shoot this video outside in some sort of like wildlife gear? And one, I don't have anything. Yeah, I had to go to Walmart and find stuff. So I'm singing Bare Necessities. It's pouring down rain. Mike D's shooting it in the rain. He can barely see because it's raining so hard on us. But I did it. And hopefully on Thursday night at ABC that it gets used. But, and I have the words here. Do you want to hear me sing some Bare Necessities?
Because
we can see if I can. Because I felt like the song is so dopey that I can pull it off. Like, it's an old school, it's like, you know, bare necessities. Okay, let's see. Here we go, Mike. Give me that. You got the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, old Mother Nature's recipes that brings the bare necessities to life. How about that? Is that good enough?
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Like that one's not a hard one to sing. Like, I'm not gonna embarrass.
Like your voice can go there. I feel like you had the boom. You had the
deepness
or whatever.
Yeah. But I didn't know all the words, and it goes into the second part. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam. Do you know that part, Amy?
No.
Yeah, me either. And they were like, learn all this, so I couldn't. So what I did is I had Caitlin hold on a big card, and she held it behind Mike D, and she's getting rained on too as we were shooting it. But on Thursday night on ABC, hopefully my video made the cut as we did Bare Necessities. And I think that, and then we had to do this whole dance thing that they're going to put us all beside each other. We'll see how it goes. Mike, how'd you feel like it went?
I thought it looked pretty good. I think my camera work was great. It made you look awesome.
Mike D couldn't hear the music.
No, it looked very weird.
So I was just singing a cappella and dancing up on the thing. But hopefully Thursday night that comes on. So Amy, do your kids like Disney songs or no?
They do. I mean, I guess we don't listen to... The only soundtrack they've ever really gotten into from a movie is Annie. But they like certain things. I don't know that I could pinpoint a movie.
You know, my favorite song from Annie is Jay-Z. It's a Hard Knock Life. Well, that's from the soundtrack, right? Yeah. Annie soundtrack?
No?
Yes. Yeah. It is. And that's the Annie they like is the new one with Jamie Foxx.
Oh, really? Well, Jay-Z sampled Annie for It's a Hard Knock Life. I was making a joke. I think maybe they really thought it was serious. Yeah.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. A man's been quarantined at home by himself, and he's kind of lonely, so he wants someone to call and talk to. So he's called 911 13 times.
Oh, no.
And he keeps telling him.
Is that misuse?
Yeah, he keeps telling him he has high blood pressure and he's having medical issues, so they send EMS every time. And finally, they charge him with misuse of 911.
I feel bad for this guy. But also,
what does he say to them when they show up?
Test me, touch me. I just want to feel human touch. That's what I would say.
Oh. Yeah, and they take his blood pressure and it's fine, and they check his vitals. Everything's fine.
That stinks. I feel bad for that dude. But also, I'm going to put a note on my phone right now. That's what I can do if I'm lonely. All right, that's it.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A group of volunteers in Tennessee has been working hard to repair thousands of masks for a Memphis hospital. Now, these are those N95 protective masks. It all happened at Baptist Memorial Hospital in Memphis, and they had a bunch of masks in storage, and they go to them, but they had all dry rotted or been torn. So this girl, Stephanie, this other girl, Gina, they organized 410 volunteers to take on the project with all the masks, and they replaced all the elastic. They cut 16,000 yards of replacement elastic and cut them into the strips and repaired all these masks. How crazy is that?
Love that.
16,000 yards? That's the same amount of yards I got rushing in high school. Everyone wore the mask and gloves, and it was great. It just that's what it's all about right there. Love that.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Amy sent me a note over the weekend saying that Jason Aldean had a stroller for his dog. Is that right?
Yeah. So I saw Brittany, his wife, post a picture of her, Jason, the kids in strollers, and then a dog in a stroller. And I thought, oh my goodness. Here, Jason Aldean is on social media, loud and proud, his dog's in a stroller. This is affirmation that Bobby can put his dog in a stroller. I mean, Jason Aldean is a man's man. You can do this.
I'm not worried about being a man's man. No, no part of me ever thinks he's a man's man. I don't have an issue with being a man's man.
Okay, well, why didn't Lunchbox didn't vote for you to put the dog in a stroller? Why?
Well,
because it makes you look like a sissy.
He has different reasons than I do.
Okay, but see, Lunchbox would never say that to Jason Aldean.
No, of course he wouldn't.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought you could have a friend in this. And if you wanted to reach out to Jason, you could be like, hey, what's it like to have your dog in a stroller? Like, I'm looking to do the same.
Can we text him right now?
What kind of stroller did you get?
Yeah, so do people laugh at you?
I'll text him right now. Amy, what do you want me to say?
Okay, ask him.
Go ahead.
Just say, hey, Jason, saw you have a stroller for your dog.
Hey, dude, saw you have a stroller for your dog. Struggling with the idea of getting one for mine, obviously because of the girlfriend. How do you feel about it? Also, hit me up with that stroller recommendation. Laugh you with tears. Okay. We'll see what he says.
Okay. Perfect.
Oh, I'm looking at him here. He's got a stroller with he's pushing the stroller with two kids. She's pushing the stroller with but she has a little dog. I have a big, bulky bulldog.
It doesn't matter. It's a dog in a stroller.
Okay. I don't...
If
he texts me back during this segment, I'll read it back to you. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
I did see a thing where vets are saying don't let people pet your dog because the person that you don't know that's petting your dog could have coronavirus and touch your dog and it could stain your dog's fur and then you touch your dog's fur and then you get coronavirus. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I had heard that. So I haven't been letting people touch my dog for weeks.
I don't let people touch my dog anyway, for the most part, because...
Oh, really?
Well, because all my dog has to do, because he's a jumper still... is jump up on someone playfully, scratch them a little bit with his claw, and they're like, that's it, I'm suing. Your dog attacked me, or they have to put my dog down. I'm just not... When you have a high-profile position like mine, people are always looking if you rear in them, if your dog scratches them. But be all you knuckleheads in this room, too. Be on the lookout. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I know. I always worried about that with Josie, my Rottweiler, because she was a little aggressive at times. But the sweetest thing in the world and a good, good dog. But luckily, any incident we had was always with a family member, so we were fine.
My car insurance is higher because of my job.
Your job or your dog?
My job. My car insurance is higher because of my job.
Why?
Because if I rear end someone... they are more likely to sue because I am in a public position. And you guys too.
Wow.
You guys just must not tell. Yeah, you guys must not just tell your person what you do.
What do you put on an application when someone says, "What do you?" When you're filling, say you're going to the doctor or wherever, and you have to fill out occupation. What do you put?
I put.
That's a good question.
I put radio personality if it's just a general one. Yeah, radio. Sometimes, if I don't want people to know, I'll just put entertainer, and just be like, what?
I know, both of those seem weird. I wonder, too, what artists put, too. Country singer?
I know, it's a weird thing to put.
I don't know, it's so weird. Like, I don't know, anytime I go somewhere new, the dentist, the doctor, the wherever, and I have to fill it out, I always feel so awkward. I don't know what to put.
Just put radio personality. Because when my neighbor, when I first moved over here, came over and asked me what I did for a living, I was like, it's none of your business. So I just said, I'm an entertainer. Because I do comedy and radio and TV.
Okay, if I say I'm an entertainer, that could be other things.
Yes.
Right.
Jason responded.
If I were to say, he did, what'd he say?
He said, ha ha ha, my wife ordered it. I refuse to be seen in public pushing it.
Boom. Told you.
However, he just say, well, you were in a picture with it.
I'm not going back on him with it. This is not a thread we're going to have together. But he said, Pet Gear is the brand, though. She got it on Amazon. I hope you and the crew are healthy. Stay and stay safe. But
all right.
Yeah.
He's just trying to sound cool.
I just don't need something. I feel like my dog can walk or we don't take him. That's what I feel like.
No, your dog can walk, but only for a quarter to half a mile, and then he plops down, and you have to pick it up because he's stubborn bulldog. Yeah. So this way, he can go on a hike with y'all, but then you can put him in the stroller for the rest.
Yeah.
That's the point.
I know what the point is, but they're also like $200.
Ugh. Okay, well, check out Pet Gear on Amazon.
I will.
I'm going to do it right now.
Parenting's difficult, wouldn't you say, Amy?
Yes, it can be at times rewarding and amazing and special, but yes, difficult.
What do you think the hardest age to parent a kid is?
9? Is it 9?
It's close.
That's where I'm...
Most parents say 8, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would say I have a 9-year-old who's almost 10, but probably is more like a 7 or an 8-year-old, so that is accurate to me, and it is... We're on this struggle bus right now.
Well, what's the hardest part?
I don't know if it's like what we're having to adjust to with the coronavirus and this new way of life, but there's just constant defiance. And some of it, I don't know if it could just be from our son's trauma and his past coming from an orphanage to here. But overall, he's typically super bubbly and amazing, but he will do a 180 so fast on you. And that's the part y'all don't get to see on Instagram. My son's typically super cute and like fun. And he is, but there's just some defiant stuff that's coming up and we're trying to figure out how to navigate it.
Eddie, you have a 12-year-old and you have, three other kids. You have 4 kids total right now. What do you think the hardest aged parent is?
I feel like the worst hasn't happened yet. I'm thinking 14, 15, because I'm going to struggle with all that, the teenage parts, the birds and the bees and all that stuff.
Eddie, you need to be talking about that now, way before they're 15.
I don't
wanna. What are you talking about?
I don't want to.
Eddie's always been a little slow with thinking his kids won't know what's up. He said he wasn't going to let them get on social media until they're 18.
And they're still not on it.
Yeah.
Eddie, by the time they're 15, if we're back in school, if coronavirus is over and we're back in school by the time they're 15, they're going to know about what you're calling the birds and the bees. Oh. I mean, think about it. When I was in
by
junior high.
By the way, who calls it the birds and the bees anymore?
Well, I was just doing that because he did.
What did you
I didn't
want
know
me
he,
to say?
Well, by the time your son's 15, I hope you can say the word sex.
Ooh, Amy, stop that. Stop that right now.
But no, that's a real question. Like, why do we call it the birds and the bees? I don't know. I know what you mean when you say that. I think most adults do, but...
Oh, because I think that birds and bees... I'm just guessing. I really have no idea. But they help pollinate, and they take the flowers, the birds, and the bees, and they spread the seed.
Okay,
I could be
well,
wrong.
Mike D has it here. Mike D, why do they call it the birds and the bees?
That's it, what Amy was saying. About bees pollinating and eggs hatching.
Bees pollinating and eggs hatching. Okay. Eddie, you've had no sort of kissing talk with your 12-year-old son?
Nope, not at all. And I've talked to my friends about it, just like, how are you doing it? And one friend told me that he just kind of like talked about animals and breeding and stuff. And I was like, that's not how I want to do it. I don't know how I want to do it, actually. I have no idea.
But your wife, I mean, given her background, because she works, what is it called? Social work type stuff. Yes. And just maybe some psychology built in there. I feel like she'll have some ways that are healthy to talk about it and bring it up.
She thinks that I'm the dad and they're boys. I should come to them from a dad perspective, which she's right. My parents never did that to me. We never had that conversation.
Oh, I didn't either.
Trust me.
I still haven't.
Me neither, but...
I'm not sure what goes where still. I'll be honest with you. let's go over to Amy now and get on the morning corny. Here we go.
The morning corny.
Why did the man run around his bed?
Because
he was trying to catch up on his sleep.
There you go.
That was the morning corny.
Nothing defines this segment better than that one joke right there. That's right. There's a new season of Dead to Me coming out on Netflix in May, Amy.
Oh, that's exciting. I love Dead to Me. The episodes are, you'd like them because they're only 30 minutes.
Oh, I watched the whole season.
Oh, you did? Okay, I can remember.
Yeah, I liked it. Will Ferrell's coming back in the second season, though. Don't know what his job is, but he's going to be in the second season. I saw that the new Tiger King episode went up yesterday. So I haven't seen it yet. I didn't get to watch it. I didn't even know it was out until later in the evening. So if you're a Tiger King fan, which tomorrow, by the way, Joe Exotic's husband will be on this show right here. His name is Dylan. But if you're a Tiger King fan, that new episode is up. And they were saying that now Tiger King is officially as big as Stranger Things. It is the biggest of the big Netflix show. By the numbers, in its first 10 days, Tiger King reached 34.3 million unique viewers. Stranger Things was only 31.2 million in 10 days. It's just perfect timing. Train wreck. We were all trapped in our houses. It was something to talk about when the only other thing to talk about was coronavirus. And I think except for Eddie, everybody on the show has watched it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, you have to start now. This is your show homework.
I know, and I told my wife, I'm like, hey, the guys on the show are telling me I should probably start watching, and she goes, I just don't know if I can, so it may cause drama, Bones, but if you want me to watch it, I will.
Yeah, tomorrow, I'll need a review of episode 1.
Okay, great.
She'll like it.
Well, you don't have to watch it with her. Listen, I don't care how you watch it, but I want to relive someone's experience the first time with it. So, Eddie will give us a review of episode 1 of Tiger King. And then we'll also talk to Dylan, Joe Exotic's husband, who Eddie will know nothing about because he's not to that episode yet.
All right, you got it.
So
I'll do it.
We'll do that. There's also another show that I was reading about because they had listed 6 or 7 of the new shows that are coming out on Netflix. And there's a new show called Too Hot to Handle. And all they showed on the front of the article was a picture. And I was like, okay, here we go again. It's another Love Island or The Bachelor because they're all super hot. But all of these folks go to like an island paradise, as they call it. And they can't kiss or touch. They say no heavy petting or no sex if they want to win all the money, which I think is $100,000.
Yeah.
So you go, and everybody's super hot with no clothes, but there's no touching. How about that? I would be so good at that show. I didn't get touched for years. I'm good at it.
Something to be proud of,
though. I may not be hot enough to get on the show, but if I got on that show, I would dominate because I can go forever without being touched. Woo! Listen, if there were a reality show of who could... Remember that Seinfeld episode? I would dominate that game. Do you guys remember that Seinfeld episode?
No, which one?
Okay, don't worry. I'm not going to say it.
No, but gosh, I remember years ago. I mean, this might even be like, I don't even know how many, 14... years ago or so, you used to go through, you hadn't been, what did you call it? Like you're dry, you weren't with anybody for like a very, very, very long time. And everyone knew about it in town and you would go through drive-thrus and people would ask you about
it. Yeah.
You couldn't go anywhere without someone just bringing up your, but I feel like you were calling it something. Mm. Does anybody remember?
Tuesday.
No. Celibate.
No, celibate's what it's called normally. All right.
Yeah, no, I feel like Bobby had some like special name. Either way, you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, everywhere we go, people be like, "Hey, man, still on your dry spell?" I'd be like,
"Yeah,
it's not dry spell to me. It's normal, bro." So we're gonna draft our favorite things to eat with a spoon. So I'll pick something, and we'll go around the room. We'll all pick our favorite thing to eat with a spoon. And then we'll go back the opposite way. And the person with the best overall team, which you can vote on at BobbyBones.com, is who you vote for. And I'll go first. My favorite thing to eat with a spoon with first overall pick. I love it so much. It's ice cream. You scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. And I got my ice cream pick in there. Amy, what do you have?
Cereal.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I thought about that. Because if I could have food groups, I would have a cereal food group, an ice cream food group that also would be slash smoothie. So I considered cereal, but I had to go with... What would you pick first?
I was going to go ice cream first.
Okay.
So since you took that, I knew I had to go cereal second.
Ooh, that was teetering on that one. Wasn't a clear-cut one for me. Lunchbox, what's your first pick?
Oh, it's easy. You unscrew the lid, you dip the spoon in, and it's a jar of peanut butter.
Ugh.
Peanut butter. Yes, delicious. That sensation of the peanut butter touching your lips, amazing off the spoon.
Morgan, your first pick on things to eat with a spoon.
I gotta go with soup.
Yeah, I love soup, yeah, too. Kayla made some good soup last night. That's another one of my food groups. Did I put that in my group mix yet?
No.
Did I say that out loud?
No.
Because it's ice cream slash smoothies, soup, cereal, and then maybe like a Quest bar.
Peanut butter?
No, I don't eat peanut butter. Ugh.
I know, but...
Ray.
Yeah, some people try to go fork, but the absolute best thing to use to get the full effect of it for mac and cheese, baby. Get that spoon out and enjoy you some.
Yeah! Well, then I guess you could do that with anything. I didn't think about this.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I'm going to get my spoon and have some chicken fried steak. You know, it may take a while to cut it. First round picks, Bobby ice cream, Amy cereal, Lunchbox peanut butter, Morgan number two soup, and Raymundo with mac and cheese. Now, we'll go backward. Raymundo, you get the first pick of the second round.
One of the top breakfast items. I'm going to be able to snag it here. Cannot believe it's still available. Give me yogurt. You cannot eat it with anything else but a spoon.
Oh.
Yeah!
Interesting. Interesting pick. I thought he was going to go with oatmeal, but he went with yogurt. Wow. Okay, solid, solid. Morgan.
I'm sticking with soups, but it's chili.
Dang it.
Interesting. Good. Is it chili a soup?
That's what I wanted.
I still had chili even though she took soup, so I guess... They're different.
I'm not asking for the game. I'm asking for life. You know how they say, is a hot dog a sandwich? Is a chili a soup? Because I would say so too. But in this game, it's not. It's a chili. Lunchbox has peanut butter. What else do you have?
Oh, man. I wanted that last one. I wanted that chili. But, you know, I mean, I'll stick with it. I'll go with oatmeal.
Amy, he has oatmeal. What are you picking?
I'm going Jell-O.
Interesting.
Well, you can only eat it with a spoon.
You're probably right, but I guess you're right, huh? I just didn't think about
it. And it's so good. And then it's up to each person whether they're going like straight, you know, gelatin Jell-O or pudding Jell-O. It's just Jell-O.
Interesting. Okay. We're still on my pick here, what I'm going to eat with a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Okay.
I have
another one.
I mean, you did bring up pudding, and I've been thinking about pudding.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with mashed potatoes, though.
Ugh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Gosh, darn it.
I'm going to go with mashed potatoes as my second pick. I've got ice cream and mashed potatoes. Okay, that's my second round. For my third round, things you can eat with a spoon. Oh, I was really leaning on applesauce. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm really considering applesauce. I'm really thinking about applesauce at this point. That's a good one. I mean, you could go right into the frosting with your spoon.
Dang it.
But I think I'm going to go with pudding and keep my pick in pudding, too. So I have ice cream, mashed potatoes, and pudding as my three things that I would eat with a spoon. Amy?
Okay, I'm between Nutella and fried rice.
Okay.
Which are very different.
You have cereal and Jell-O so far. Your third pick is going to be...
I know. So I feel like fried rice might throw me out there and people might be like, what?
I got mashed potatoes and pudding, so...
Okay, it's so good with a spoon, so I'm going to go with fried rice.
All right. Lunchbox has peanut butter and oatmeal. What's your pick?
Oh, man. This is a tough one. But when I go to the drive-thru at Wendy's and I go and I say, can I get me a Frosty? I eat that with a spoon like a champion. So give me the Wendy's Frosty.
All right. Frosty, Morgan?
Well, when you make a homemade batch of cookies, you have cookie dough, and you eat cookie dough with a spoon.
Okay, cookie dough.
That was my debate.
And finally, over to Raymundo.
Yeah, you can try some other utensils. They're just not going to work with these because they're so small. You got to get a spoon for Dippin' Dots.
Raymundo's nuts. I have like 18 things on my list, and I didn't even put Dippin' Dots on my list. That's a good one.
That's good.
All right, so here are the teams. Go vote for your favorite team. Let's see. I have ice cream, mashed potatoes, and pudding. Amy has cereal, Jell-O, and fried rice. Lunchbox has peanut butter, oatmeal, and Frosty. Morgan has soup, chili, and cookie dough. And Raymundo has mac and cheese, yogurt, and Dippin' Dots.
Yeah!
What wasn't taken was some of the things I talked about. Applesauce. I do like applesauce. Frosting wasn't taken. Amy, anything you didn't pick?
I thought about Nutella.
Yeah.
That's one that I threw out there that I...
I have it on mine too, but then I walked away from it because I thought about I dip other stuff in Nutella more than a spoon.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. So, it starts to get tricky after cereal, ice cream, and soup, you know?
All right, go vote at BobbyBones.com.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So the Friends cast, they have been having Zoom meetings from lockdown because the reunion special is supposed to happen soon. But coronavirus put a halt to filming and threatened canceling it altogether. So now we don't even know if it's going to be happening because their schedules may not align again for another year or so.
Well, they should record these Zoom meetings. I think we'd all like to see that. Like all the cast of Friends having a Zoom meeting talking about planning for the reunion. That'd be fun. And also, they're going to pay millions and millions of dollars. I bet they can find one day in their schedule. All right, what else?
I know. And it's not a scripted episode. Can't they sit them on stage 6 feet apart?
Oh, true. Well, it's all the camera guys. It's the crew thing more than it is them. Yeah.
True. So last week, Waffle House announced on Twitter that they were going to start selling their special recipe waffle mix on their website, which they haven't done before. And in just 4 hours, the mix was totally sold out. But I have good news if you missed out. They put out a tweet that they are working to restock. But heads up, it's sort of expensive. You get like 3 bags and it makes about 5 waffles per bag and it's $20.
I like Waffle House waffles, but I like it at Waffle House. I don't know that would be my favorite waffle at my house because I like big, fluffy waffles at my house. In Waffle House, which every 4 or 5 nights a week in college, I stopped at Waffle House and studied. Waffle House waffles were thin. They had a specific taste to them, but it wasn't the best. It was just part of that environment, you know, kind of like
sketchy. The vibe of going.
The waffle had the vibe for sure.
I want the hash browns, smothered, covered, and peppered.
You got to hire somebody to do that part, but yeah. All right, what else?
So, Bobby, I'm going to tell you the results of a poll for sports, and then I want your thoughts. 72% Americans say that they won't go to a sporting event until there's a COVID-19 vaccine, which isn't expected till next year. 74% think there's a good chance that all sports for the whole year are canceled. And then 70% think the NFL should just not start up again in the fall to protect the players. But then there's a percentage of people, and this is where I really want your thoughts, where they say the league should resume but allow the players to choose if they want to play or not.
All right, that's a lot. Ask me a question specifically, and I'll give you my thoughts on it.
Okay, well, because, the players, it's their health and safety on the line. Should they have a choice if they want to, you know, be put on a field and risk contact like that with people?
Well, of course. I mean, everybody gets a choice. It's their health. But it's, you know, do they get paid or not? That's the question. If they're not going to go out and work, do they still get their, you know, millions of dollars a year? I think that's like secondary. That's way later down. It's will they have games? I think eventually they'll have some sort of game. Will there be fans? Probably not at first. Will people want to go? Some will. Some don't think it's as serious as other people. We're still wait and see. It's May. April. What month are we in? Oh, my goodness. I don't know what day it is.
It's April, but yeah, okay. It feels like May.
It's just, I feel like we're probably another 3 or 4 weeks away from starting to get back to normal, like just trying. And the early steps are nowhere near the end steps. It'll be interesting. I think things will happen, but I think that there won't be a lot of fans. That's what I think. I think with touring music, it's going to be the same way. They just aren't going to – all these shows get rescheduled for May, June, July. Okay, good luck. You may get some of them, but some states aren't going to allow people to get together. It's going to matter what state it is, too, and who the governor is.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank.
Hey, Barbara, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Hey,
I'm alive.
Yeah, right. I'm a big fan of yours. Just want to say that. I love you on Shark Tank. Love what you do. And I got a few different types of questions for you. I want to get to some real life stuff. I want to get to some some people that are going through struggles right now. But if you don't mind, I would like to ask a few Shark Tank questions first, if that's okay.
No, not at all. Everybody always says in the end, sooner or later.
Well, I'm going to start with them, and we'll end on the good, serious stuff. But I'm such a Shark Tank watcher in the last couple of years, you know. But then I binge it like crazy, right? And so you've been an investor for the past 10 seasons, and they say you have over 80 businesses. How much do you actually look into these businesses that you put your money into?
Well, I look very deeply into them before I put my cash in. You know, the show's kind of odd in that we commit to making the deal, and then we do our due diligence. So it's kind of like backwards against the rest of the world. So we make sure we know what we're buying into before we go in, and we spend a lot of time on that. It probably takes about 4 to 6 weeks to close any deal. And then once we're in bed with our new partners, we work like crazy, or at least I could speak for myself. I work like crazy to try to make their business a big hit.
What shark on the show are you closest with in real life, human life?
Damon, because he's the salt of the earth, and he has a wicked, filthy sense of humor, so he keeps me laughing. And who doesn't need another joke, right? And second after Damon, I would say Mark, of course, mostly because he's a billionaire, and I like to throw that around. I don't really know any other billionaires.
When someone comes in the room and the doors open and we see them make like, how much time do they actually have to present to you guys?
They are actually on our set for about an hour and a half. When you see the cut at home, it's probably 4 to 7 minutes, I think, a typical pitch. But what's interesting about the show is when they walk into the room, they're asked to stand in front of the sharks, and then they're told not to talk to us right away, which is really terrifying because they're thinking they're pumped up, they're coming in, they think they're going to pitch, and they're ready to go. And then they're asked to wait a bit. What's great about that is the camera crew gets great shots of them getting scared, breaking down, sweat coming down their head. But what I love about that little moment there is I'm seeing how good someone is under pressure. And I never make money on people who fold under pressure. So if somebody's really folding right on the get-go, I'm already out in my head. I'm just trying to think of a reason to say I'm going out.
I have one more Shark Tank question, and it's, have you ever finished when you're you know, talking to the people, they're talking to the sharks, and you're actually still mad at one of the other sharks because of what happened as they were talking about their product? Like, you didn't win or you did, but there's such animosity between you two that it kind of came out after the show.
It happens all the time. It doesn't come out after the show because we usually shoot 10, 12-hour days, so it's really a trench we go through together. So you're in war together, so you don't have time to be annoyed. But what you feel is the loss of wanting a deal and being beat out. No doubt about it. Everybody on that set is super competitive. Sometimes I find myself competing on things I really don't have an interest in. I just don't want to see the next guy get it. But what's great is at the end of the day, if we have enough energy to order a drink and we have a shot of something or just a sip of wine, that's all it takes, and we're laughing about the day and we move on. Because what's great about Shark Tank is you think you've seen everything, and then the next morning those doors open and you see something entirely different, a different personality, different product, different business plan, and so you move on. You don't really have time to pause and reflect on the day before.
What's the product you made the most money off of from Shark Tank?
Weird product, actually. Not that there's anything weird about it, I guess, but strange that I would make money. That was a crazy product called Comfy, which is basically an oversized sweatshirt blanket. And when those two brothers hit the set, no one bid except me. Because every question we asked them, they had the wrong answer for. What are you going to sell this for? We don't know. How much do you have? We don't know. Who's going to buy it? We don't know. What will it cost to make? They had no answers for anything. But I sat there and I thought to myself, well, they're only asking like $100,000. This is a small deal. They're willing to maybe give me a big chunk of the business if I'm aggressive. And besides, these are guys that would be a blast to have a beer with. I think I'll buy them just for the fun of it. And I've made in that business, I've had so far, oh God, I have lost track. I should really update myself daily. But I've made in that business close to $7 million.
Wow.
That was 2 years ago.
Holy
crap.
Yeah,
and I invested $100,000. And no one saw that coming. They were the least likely to succeed. But they hit a beat with the people somehow at the right time, and they sell like gangbusters.
Barbara Corcoran's on with us. Her podcast is called 888-BARBARA. And you take callers, you give advice. And what are most people calling to ask you at this point?
At this point, it's all financial advice. I would say 50% of what I'm hearing is worry, founded worry, founded on something, but just pure unadulterated worry that they can't shake it out. And so it's half playing shrink and half giving sound financial advice. But everybody's worried about this crisis, and they have too much time inside to think about everything. And the questions are more intense. The people are more upset. There's been a marked difference in the last month. Absolutely.
So one of the big questions on every home buyer's mind, because I have a friend that's going through the process right now, like, are they crazy to be buying a house right now?
It depends if your friend is courageous or not. If he's a smart person and he's not going to stay awake at night worrying about a purchase when every one of his friends tell him he's nuts, then he's a smart guy and should go forward. I'm going to tell you something. I've been investing in real estate my whole life, and the only time you can get a great deal is not when the market is terrible, because everybody knows it's terrible and everybody's in there fishing for something good, but when there's uncertainty. And that's exactly what we have now. We have a pause. We have brokers that can't show, buyers that can't shop, and sellers that are scared to death. And when you have a seller listing their home this month for sale, you can be sure of one thing. They are motivated. Why would they list their home this month? It doesn't make any sense. So if you're courageous, if you have that big heart and you just, well, maybe not a heart, but a big set of you know what, you could get in there and you could grab yourself a great deal. That's what you could do right now, because you could low bid. You could look at properties that aren't moving. You could look at properties that have languished on the market for a long time, because there's always someone who really has a need to sell. And you could get, you could just scoop up something now that you would pay a lot more for 2 months from now. I'm not doubtful about that at all. That's what I've attempted to do every uncertain period in my life, investing in real estate. And that's how I got all of my good deals.
Her podcast is called 888-BARBARA. And if someone called and said, Barbara, like they're on the, you're on the show right now, you're doing it. Barbara, what's more important to you in hiring someone, attitude or experience?
Oh, I don't pay attention to attitude. I mean, I don't pay attention to experience, excuse me. Attitude is everything. You can't teach attitude, but you could teach the experience. I have an office filled with predominant young people that came in not knowing what to do with anything, honestly. They weren't even sure what they wanted in life. They're all talented, all have broad skill sets, and it's only because they're willing to learn a new thing every day as I throw it at them, and they're willing to rise to the occasion. And that doesn't happen without a positive attitude, like, yeah, let me give it a shot. You know, it's weird. Years ago, I used to hire people when I was very young in my trade, and I would hire someone who had phenomenal experience, a great resume, and I would think, oh my God, I'm hiring above what I'm capable of. This is great. They're really going to pull me ahead. But I found out if their mother and father didn't love them enough to give them a good attitude, there was nothing I was going to do to change their bad attitude, no matter what their experience was. So I totally shifted in who I hire. I only hire for attitude.
Okay, we got two things left. I'm going to ask you one more question, and then one of our guys on the show wants to make a quick pitch to you, Barbara, if that's okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It'll be terrible.
I'm out.
It'll be terrible.
I'm out already.
Question number one. Here's the question. What's the best piece of advice you can give someone going into a job interview?
Oh, I can only say one little thing?
You can say whatever you want. No, you can give, give
okay,
me the answer.
Okay, I thought I had to pick one. Okay,
No.
Things come right to mind. Okay. You're being liberal with me now. Dress for the job you want, or a level a little bit higher. Okay, people do judge you by your clothes. People say don't judge a book by its cover. I do it all the time when I hire. If someone doesn't look the part, I'm half listening the minute they open their mouth. Next, make great eye contact. Not stare where you're going to spook somebody out. But people are uncomfortable. You know, you're in a subordinate position when you're in an interview, and people tend to look away. When people tend to look away, I think they lack confidence, and I'm not going to be able to build the confidence. And then last, make sure you have a good handshake. Most people think a good handshake is grab the hand and crush it. That's not a good handshake. The handshake that works is when you make contact on that flesh between your thumb and your forefinger. You make a contact. Half the people I shake hands with crunch me, but they don't let me really get into their hand. They're backed off, and then I don't trust them. Just an intuitive reaction, but I'm not alone in that regard. I've talked to many people who hire, and those, I think, are the three most important things.
All right, her podcast is 888-BARBARA. You can call and get advice from her. We got a bunch of free advice here. I feel very blessed. And now quickly. This is our producer, Raymundo. Say hi to Barbara.
Hey, Barbara, it is Raymundo.
Ray, I'm out.
Okay, let me give you the pitch real quick, and then I'm going to tell you how much I need sharks. Here's the deal. What I've seen in American society is people need help at night with kids, with turning down the bed, the house, everything right before bed, the dishes, the dog needs let out. There's so much that needs to be done. So I need 30 minutes of a family's time. I'm going to be able to take care of all that stuff, and I call my business Turn Down For What? And my company will come in. We will take care of everything in 30 minutes. We charge you $30. We're going to hope to clear 8 houses in a night, make $300, $150 a week. I need $200,000 to get this started, Sharks. Please let me know. Turn down for what?
Why don't you call me, my dear, when you get your first 2 clients? That's $210 a week if somebody's going to have you in every night, unless it's a one-time thing, maybe. But no, nobody wants you in their house. I would keep thinking about a new idea.
All right. Oh, sorry. Yeah! You've been rejected, Raymundo. Hey, everyone listening, check out her podcast, 888 Barbara. Love her. Hey, you were such a good guest, Barbara. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to come on, we'd love to have you.
Pleasure. You stay healthy. Huh?
All right, Barbara. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So this husband, Albert, he's been going to his cancer treatment appointments with his wife, Kelly, for the last 3 months. Well, she's the one with cancer, and he's been able to go with her. And now with coronavirus, he can't do it. So she had to go to her latest round of chemo all by herself, and he showed up. In the minivan, him and his 3 kids, they made signs and they parked right outside the window where she could see them. She's way up in the hospital and looked down and they were like, hey, we're here with you. Called her on her cell phone and said, we're here. Look out the window. And there they were.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Just chilling, waiting.
It's a good picture. Special. She had a mask on and she had lost her hair from all the chemo. And it's the picture of her looking at the camera with the window and it's all them like across the street because they can't be close to her with that big old sign. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was at MD Anderson in Houston. So shout out to everyone there, probably doing the best they can with all this going on as well.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
The CEO from Walmart says we're now in the hair color phase of panic buying. It was an interesting little talk he did because he talked about at first when this all happened, everybody ran to the store and got hand sanitizer and soap and disinfectant. We all did that. And we still do. We needed that. So that was phase one, need, but we probably also tried to get a little more than we needed it. I've still got, but I've always had a bunch of hand sanitizer. But remember, I woke up in the middle of the night one night having nightmares that someone came to the studio and stole our studio hand sanitizer. That's how much it was on my brain. Mm-hmm. That was week one. Week two was toilet paper. So after all the sanitizer is gotten or you can't get it, it's, well, what can I get that I need? And it's toilet paper. And it's still hard to get toilet paper. Because as soon as it goes up on the shelf, people are getting it. But that was week two. Week three, it started to be, well, this is going to be a while. So what can we buy as far as groceries that can help us? And it was spiral hams and baking yeast. And Amy, I got to tell you, I don't know what either one of those are, a spiral ham or baking yeast.
I got to think maybe they were buying that stuff up for Easter. Yeah. A ham and make some bread or something. I have no idea.
Well, for two
or maybe
whole weeks.
That... Okay, maybe preparing for Easter lunch, or maybe that does well in the freezer, and then you can bake your own bread. I have no idea.
That has to be what it is. I don't think people are preparing 2 weeks out for a single Easter lunch in the middle of a pandemic.
Okay.
And then week five, which we are now, is hair clippers and hair dye, because people have started to go, uh-oh, one, got to get a haircut, or two, a lot of women, some of my friends too, are like, oh no, my roots are showing. One of my friends was like, my roots are so gray, I don't want anyone to see it. So she has her hairstyling place, her salon, has an emergency kit where if you call them, they give you a bowl with a pre-mixed to your hair color. I guess because there's a log of this? You guys have logs of your hair color?
Yeah. Is it a mutual friend? Because my salon has that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got an email saying if we needed to pick up an emergency kit, those are available for purchase, which I thought was a creative way for our hair salon to continue bringing in some revenue and keep their clients happy. Like whoever thought of that was a good idea.
Have you worried about your hair at all?
No, I mean, my roots are bad. I have some grays that come through, but they're not terrible and I can get away with it for a while, but they're definitely getting dark and growing out. Someone said the other day, I had my hair in a ponytail, and they thought, oh my gosh, your hair is so dark, or did you dye it brown? I'm like, nope, it's just, that's the real color of my hair.
Well, that's apparently where we are now in this phase is the hair. Make a guess, when do you think everything kind of gets back to normal, Amy? Just throw it out there. In your mind, I just wonder where you think your head is, where people start to go back to work and we start to do it. Go ahead.
I think, okay, it's mid-April. I'm thinking maybe mid-May.
Okay. Listen, no one knows if you're right or wrong.
That's my optimistic side. I do have a more pessimistic side version I could give you, but since you asked me for what I have hope for, it's mid-May.
When do you think you won't work at home anymore?
Mid-May.
Oh, that's, you're putting you on that.
Yeah, yeah, wouldn't, if everybody, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess given it is you, so I don't know, August?
Of 2022?
Yeah, I don't know.
Never being near people
again. I guess
again.
That part just, I mean, because yes, we are able to still get our job done, so I feel like if we can still contribute to staying home in that way, we should, but I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, I think probably by mid, yeah, I think June 1st is a good goal.
Is that your goal for us to be back together, or when the society starts to get back to normal?
I think it starts dripping out late May, and some jobs that weren't super essential are now a little more essential, and it starts to roll that way. But the worst thing that can happen is everybody gets sick again and reset us. You think the economy would hurt with us just holding back? Wait until you see us hold back, go, and have to start over and hold back again. That would be awful. So I'm going to say late May to early June when we come out of our houses. We'll come out a little more and more, but that's what I would say. All right, this has been your Positivity Minute here. Tell me something good. We should catch up with Mike D, who's our head writer on the show. And Mike D started with me. Mike, how many years ago did you come and meet me and ask for an internship?
10 years ago.
So for 10 years, you know, Mike has either been an intern or I helped him get a job part-time, or said, hey, you should move across the country. You live with me for a while.
Yeah.
Worked his way up here on the show. Now he's the head writer of the show. Also really the only writer officially. Yeah. We say head writer just to kind of gas him up a little bit, but he's the main writer of the show. And he writes games. And he's just such a pivotal part of the success of the show. Super quiet guy. Has his first girlfriend now. And you guys have been together for how long?
Almost 2 years.
Man, it's been that long.
Yeah.
Huh? Crazy. And he's been quarantining by himself, and he'll come over to my house where we're doing the show from. He goes nowhere but his house where he's alone, and then at my house where it's just me and him. And listen, I'm no treat to be around. I don't have a lot to say when it's not say stuff time. And so we do the show, and he goes home, and I'm like, man, your girlfriend should come. And he's like, she didn't want to. Finally, I kind of put the screws to you on the air and said, hit her up and tell her you'll go pick her up. And you did. This weekend, you drove to Texas.
I drove.
How long was the drive from Nashville to Austin?
12 and a half hours.
Did you stop?
I stopped only for gas and to pee.
No food? You took food with you?
I took food with me. I had protein bars, bananas, and some cashews.
Sounds like he's running from the law. Like, he didn't stop. Only a pocket full of cashews and 8 quarters, and he was going to make it. How'd the drive feel?
It was pretty daunting.
Yeah.
It was... like just my leg just trying to stay awake the whole time because it just kind of wears on you. But it wasn't bad. There was nobody on the road, so I just did it straight through.
You see a bunch of cops or no?
Not really, no.
12 and a half hours. And I've made that drive a bunch, driving from Nashville to Austin and back. And you go, all right, first stop, Memphis.
Yeah.
And then you just try to get through Memphis with all your tires. And you're like, okay, I made it through Memphis. And then you're like, next stop, Little Rock. And then I am from Little Rock, so I like Little Rock. And then it's forever to get to Dallas.
Yeah, it takes a long time.
And then once you get to Dallas, you're like, all right, where is Austin?
Yeah.
And you're still another 3 hours out. But you made it, and then would you go right to bed when you got there?
Got there, went straight to bed, woke up next day, loaded up the car, and then came straight back.
And how was the drive back with her?
It was better because we switched off every 3 hours. So she took the first half, and I took another little nap, and then hopped over, and then we just went back and forth.
Oh, that's nice that she drove.
Yeah.
Did she have walnuts in her pocket too?
No, she had some other snacks. Okay. She made a PBJ.
Did you guys stop on the way back?
No. Only stopped for gas and then we ate our food and then went to the restroom on the side of the road.
You guys pulled over and peed on the side of the road?
Yeah, we didn't want to go inside the gas stations.
Both of you peed on the side of the road?
Yep.
Did you cover her? Did you like put your arms over her and cover
No,
her?
We just put the car doors out and then she went.
Huh. Was she?
Yeah, I mean, I've done that before.
in emergency situations, right?
Yeah, the double door thing to shield yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they're in a hurry and there's not a gas station, also, given the times and coronavirus, it's probably safer to pee on the side of the road.
I think that's why you guys
did. Yeah, that's why we did.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they were in a hurry.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No, they had all day.
I don't know.
It wasn't Gumball Run or what do you call, what do you call that?
The Gumball Race,
run.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cannonball Run. Yeah, whatever it is. Where they drive from California to New York and it's a race.
They did that over the weekend, too.
They did?
I think it took like, oh, I forgot how long, but they made a record time because there's nobody on the road.
They did the gum. Isn't it called the Gumball Run?
I think so.
I think the movie's called Cannonball Run.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
I'm going to finish this conversation with the mic real quick because I do want to talk about that race too. But you guys got back and now she's been here a couple nights now, huh?
Yeah.
When you guys got back, she just go to bed?
Yeah, we just got some food and then went straight to bed.
Happy to have her?
Yeah. Feels a lot better at home now.
Did she go, this place is disgusting, and start cleaning it up?
Yeah, she's like, you live like a bachelor. So she brought like her own dishes too because I have only like one of anything. So she brought her stuff, and then she like cleaned the entire kitchen because she didn't like the way I have it.
Wait, she didn't just bring her clothes. She brought plates.
Yeah, she brought plates, pots and pans, all the things.
And she plans to stay how long?
I mean, as long as this is happening. So maybe through the summer is kind of what she planned for.
Wow.
Yeah.
Through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's great because her job is like allowing her to work from home, so she doesn't have to go in. So as long as that's the way it is, she'll just stay here.
It's the longest you've ever been in the same place.
Yeah.
I mean, Caitlin's been here almost 5 weeks now. And I mean, we've never, first of all, you don't ever spend this much time with anybody all the time, right? These are weird circumstances. But, you know,
yeah, I'm married and this is the most time we've spent.
Yeah, that's what I'm, so it's like
yeah,
a lot.
But it just is what it is.
It has been good. Amy, do you and your husband ever get irritated at each other? Now, like, because you're just together all the time?
No, nothing that's added to it. I think we understand the situation that we're in, so we're being very proactive about communication.
Yeah.
Like, this is literally the most time that we've spent together, and we have a lot of things to tackle, especially with the kids. So there's just not room for that. So we have to be on top of it. So I think, if anything, it's helped increase our communication.
Wow. Good for you guys. I think we're learning how to communicate because we're in a new relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel new anymore, though. And I mean that in a good way. Like, it doesn't feel like it's something that you're only excited about. It's like something you've invested in and you're happy with now. I think it's we've transitioned from, oh, early lovey-dovey, just can't wait to see you, to this is why I'm glad to see you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I feel like y'all have gone from, oh, you just started dating last year to feels like y'all been together a couple years.
What? In a good way. Let me say
in a good way. No, in a good way. I feel for married people, you know, my husband and I've been married 13. During this situation, it feels like we've been married 20.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that, but
it's not bad. Time itself just feels weird.
She at times struggles with, this isn't her home. She doesn't have clothes here. She has no people near.
Yeah.
There's no normalcy whatsoever. Like, she's just here because she came here for a week and then Corona hit and she was going to head back. And then we debated, like, do you go back? And then like 2 days later, it was like, thank God you didn't go back. It's California shut down, basically. Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about how lucky you got with how awesome she is, because really—
What about, I'm a prize too here.
No. Because really, we thought she was awesome, but that could have been a disguise or something. I don't know. You never know. You know, you find out about someone when you're in a circumstance like this, and she's been great and it's been awesome for you. And I feel like you got so lucky, because what if stress turned her into some monster or something? Or, you know, nobody's been through a pandemic before. So what if being in this circumstance turned her into somebody that was just awful? And then you were stuck with her. Like, how would you ask her to leave? I mean, how?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because that hasn't been a thought at all. So
I know. So anyway, you got lucky because she's awesome.
How, can we not say that she got lucky a little bit too, to be trapped in the house with me? And, you know, no.
Yeah, okay. But I know you're awesome. I'm.
We're good. Mike, did you find any info on that race?
Yeah, it's called the Cannonball Run.
It is called Cannon.
Yeah, and they made it in 26 hours and 38 minutes. They beat the record.
And where do they go from and to?
From New York to L.A.
Wow. And what do they win?
Nothing. I think it's just setting a record, like a world record.
Who does that?
Yeah, they have to win something, right?
Yeah, because aren't there a bunch of cars that do it and they all like bet money against each other?
So this is just one car that did it, an Audi.
Okay, but there's a race though.
Yeah.
Unless it's just a movie with Mr. Bean I've seen a couple times. Because I've seen that one a couple times. Morgan finally has a microphone in her house, not just a phone. Hey, Morgan, how's it going over there?
It's good. It's exciting that I have a microphone.
Yeah. What happened on today's show that people can go back and listen on the podcast?
Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank was on the show, and she shared some behind the scenes of Shark Tank filming.
Yeah, and then Raymundo got to pitch his idea at her, too. So you can hear that. I really had fun with her. She was a great guest. What else?
We drafted foods you can eat with a spoon.
Yeah, which was a little harder than I thought. And to be fair, I went to Amy with all the ideas, and I was like, what do you want to do this week? And Amy was like, let's do foods with a spoon. And I was like, all right. And then we had like three, then we started really stretching.
But it was still fun.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of fun for sure. But by the time you went green beans, we were all thrown off. Yeah. There's no green beans. But go vote on your favorite there, bobbybones.com. All right, what else, Morgan?
And Mike D drove back from Texas with his girlfriend, so we got an update on that.
There you go. A couple things I'll say. I'm shooting another game show video game. Game show, trivia game. What do you call it? Michael, what would you call it?
Trivia game. Trivia show.
Online trivia show.
Yeah.
Yeah. My guests tonight, as part of the panel that answers easy trivia questions, will be Maddie and Tay playing separately, and Morgan Evans. And I get a couple listeners, and I get a couple friends. And I do easy trivia. And it's been going pretty well. I think we had about 500,000 people watch the last game show that we did. So kind of cool that this thing's kind of taken off. But we'll post it. It'll be posted tomorrow morning. But we're shooting that tonight. That's what I'm doing. Thank you. Doing that. I do have a new Bobbycast that's up with Jaron Johnson from Cadillac 3, where he talks about his dad used to be the drummer at the Opry, and he ran into a certain artist, and they cursed him out and said, get out of my dressing room. You can hear that on the Bobbycast. And also, we do, inside that same Bobbycast, a whole deal where we talk about number ones from bands, but their lead singer didn't sing the song. It's kind of weird. So Eddie and I hopped on and did that. So that's what's up. Amy, what's up with you?
Well, school is a late start today, so we'll probably be doing school later than usual. I don't know. If there was no school Thursday, no school Friday, and then today was a late start. So I don't know. Just school. And it'll probably go later because we started later for whatever reason. And then dinner with the kids, I guess.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'll try to catch up on the new Tiger King. There's one episode out, so, and I haven't seen that yet, so I'll probably watch that tonight. That and Ozark, because I'm halfway through season two. Oh, I guess I'm pretty close to the end of season two, and then I start season three, which I'm into season two, and Amy says season three is even better, so let's go, baby. Yeah, I'm about to go to town on some Ozark. Mike, do you watch Ozark at all?
I haven't watched the new season yet, but it's good.
But you seem to?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's good.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on Tuesday's show. Don't forget, Dylan, who is Joe Exotic's husband, the current husband of Tiger King, will be on. And Jake Owen. Got a packed show for you tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye, everybody. Bobby Bones. Yeah.